1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
Good Saturday afternoon. Thanks for tuning in to catch Power Drift. Joining me in studio, Ipsy Ed.
Bonger. Good Saturday afternoon.
See, you're just jumping in, right? You can feel it. It's electric in the air.
Yes, yes.
Yes, it is.
Welcome to Shout Radio.
I'm not going to shout too much today. Maybe the second half. We'll get through this. What we do on The Drift every Saturday is go over the news that I put on thedailydrift.com. And if you're not going there, you should. It's the news you need to know. Yes, there you go. You were late. See?
Sorry.
www.thedailydrift.com. Very easy to find. I put a lot of effort into aggregating those news items that you will not get from the mainstream media, and we will talk about those dirty buggers in the second half hour of the show. But if you're interested in advertising in the Current newspaper, which I'm the chief editor of, call me, 734-629-6010, and try and get into the August edition. We've grown our paper over 500% in the last 10 years now, and it's a great place to grow your business as well and keep community news alive. So yeah. 734-629-6010, or email me,
Gary.
Gary, I'm choking. Choking on my coffee. Gary, 734-629-6010, or Gary at thedailydrift.com, or editor at currentonline.com. Easy to get to, right? Okay, so you worked your butt off this week, and well, you and Joe, I think.
Yeah, right? Joe did a lot of the heavy lifting, yeah.
And got us a great interview, because I've been screaming for months that the Republicans need to put up...
Literally screaming.
Yes, a senatorial candidate to go against Debbie Stabenow, whom I think is a disgraced. She's an Obama agendist. She does nothing for the state of Michigan or our country. And when you said we had Chief Justice of the Michigan Supreme Court, Robert Young Jr., going to come onto the show today and interview with us, I was exceedingly, exceedingly happy. So let's bring him on right now and give him as much time as we can. Chief Justice Bob Young Jr. Bob, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. Former. I retired from the court a month or so ago, and now I'm just Bob.
Okay, Bob. Well, Bob, that's the first thing for me.
Yeah,
I can call my politicians by their first name, because Tim calls in, our congressman, all the time. But
I'm not a politician. I'm a judge. But,
you're stepping.
But I am going to take on Debbie Stabenow.
Good.
For all the reasons you just said. I stood Wednesday. I made my announcement, and I stood at what I consider a kind of a sacred place, my childhood home in Detroit on 14th and McGraw.
That's a vacant lot now, right?
It used to have a home on it, a home where my family sort of began, and it's just a vacant field now. It's where my dad, who was then a struggling brand new doctor, sort of began his practice, and my family got kicked off. And it represented so much in my mind, the physical manifestation of the horrible policies that liberals like Debbie Stabenow have been promoting over the years. Their answer is always more government, more spending. They spent $22 trillion, that's with a T, of our taxpayer dollars on a war on poverty. And what we've got for that investment of our money is a poverty rate that's roughly the same as it was in 1967, that devastated communities like the one I stood in on Wednesday, and of course Obama phones. Now that's a horrible legacy.
Yes,
it's we just can't continue that kind of insanity.
It occurred to me when you were saying the war on poverty that a lot of the black community got hit by friendly fire.
Well, you can look at, it's not just Detroit. You can go over, go through large swaths of Michigan and find the same devastation. These are policies that are killing communities. They're killing the middle class. The middle class in Michigan has gone more than a decade without an appreciable increase in its income as the as the costs have gone up, the taxes have gone up. The problem with people like Debbie Stabenow is she loves government more than she loves us. The answer for her is always more taxation, more spending, and she doesn't care a whit about whether the money she's spending causes any appreciable positive result. And just to give you another, we borrow every year from China the equivalent of our discretionary spending, federal discretionary spending. That includes our military budget. Every year. That's insane. We've got to stop spending like we're crazy, and we've got to start making some tough choices. Debbie Stabenow is a placeholder in the resistance, and she does nothing for her citizens in Michigan or the nation, and she needs to retire.
Yes, absolutely.
She needs to be retired.
Yeah. Bob, I can't tell you how proud I am of you stepping forward, because it goes without saying you're eminently qualified, legislatively speaking.
Yeah.
You are.
You know the Constitution.
You
right?
know the Constitution and the law.
I've spent
probably
the last 22 years defending the Constitution as a rule of law judge. The court has a tremendous reputation as one that you can predictably rely on it to follow the law rather than make it. And that's probably why President Trump selected me to be one of his potential nominees for the United States Supreme Court. That's who I am. I am committed to following the law. I mean, we're all, from Debbie's standpoint, we're all just suckers. We follow the rules, but we get none of the benefit for it. Those
right.
that don't follow the rules get the benefit.
You were I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, that's deeply offensive to me. I'm 66. I've had a wonderful career in law. I don't owe anybody anything. I don't have to do this, but I really feel it in my bone marrow, that somebody has to step up and take her on. And so that's something I can do at this stage of my life.
Yeah, and that is awesome. And I can guarantee you, Bob, that Ed and I and the people at this station will do whatever it takes to help you along. And so my only real question is this. Are you ready to stand up and debate Debbie Stabenow on television? And
Wait a minute. He was a lawyer.
I understand.
Debate.
I'm just saying.
Am I ready? Yeah, of course I'm ready.
Okay.
The problem is
willing. I think Gary's going for willing.
Oh, yeah.
He has a thing about extra not going after.
Here's my thing, Bob. Last time around, Pete Hoekstra, right, qualified,
yes.
obviously, to run for Senate, and waged the absolute worst campaign and did not debate Debbie Stabenow, who can be beaten on every issue, and yet he failed to, whatever the holdup was, you have to debate Debbie on television. You have to get out on television.
I will chase her to the ends of the earth.
Excellent.
She will not want to debate me.
Why would she?
She will not want to debate me.
I mean, I can see how.
I actually have ideas. I actually can express myself. She will not want to debate me, but I will show up wherever she is until she agrees to debate me.
Excellent. Well, Bob, can you hang on? Let's get Joe from Wyandotte, who was very instrumental in getting it. He's got some questions for you. We'll bring
sure.
him on and see what he's got. Joe, welcome to the show.
Hey, Joe.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Hey,
Joe,
yeah,
welcome to the show.
You gotta push the button there, Gary.
Yeah. No, I think I took Bob off there. Put Bob back on. We're good? Okay. Go ahead, Joe.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Bob, I hope you'll run a good campaign focusing on your conservativeness and your record of being a constitutionalist. And I have two brief questions. The first, you kind of maybe touched on a little. Could you please explain the decided difference in positive nature of you having been a proven constitutionalist justice over someone who has been nothing but a party hack and a career politician like Debbie Stabenow and any potential GOP primary candidate may be?
Well, let me give you a little bit of background. First of all, I've been a judge for 22 years defending and upholding the Constitution and our liberties. That's an important background, and it informs my belief that the federal government should stop functioning outside its constitutional limits and within them. I mean, the founders created a limited federal government, but it's anything but a limited government. So that's point one. Point two, you know, Debbie Stabenow has been in the Senate for 18 years, has very little to show for it. Nobody believes that Debbie Stabenow is a leader. Let me tell you what happens when I have authority. For 6 years of my time on the Supreme Court, I was the Chief Justice, and as such, I was responsible for the third branch, the judiciary of Michigan. People have been talking about reforming the judiciary for years, decades, actually. I actually reformed it. This is what I did. I shrunk the size of the judiciary. I reduced its cost. I imposed a performance measure on every judge to create accountability. So now, created transparency, because now every citizen in Michigan can look up on their court's internet and see how the court is performing. I also did something else. If you go to Starbucks or any place else, you'll get a card asking you how their service was. And I said, well, that's a good idea. So annually, they're surveying our customers, the court. We have data. We have data on how well judges are performing, how well the public thinks of our services, and we can manage those things. And what we did was we reduced the cost and improved the service. That's a lesson people need to have in D.C.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100% on that. And my second question is, there is a NSO fund PAC that is trying to draft businessman and Iraq war veteran John James. Do you have any friendly advice? Do you know John, in case he's listening and indeed also considering a run? Because he's also not a career politician.
I don't have any advice or counsel for anybody. Anybody who wants to run, this is a free country. I actually welcome a primary. It'll make me a better candidate in opposing Debbie Stabenow. I think what I bring to the table is actual experience in reforming government. I mean, it's one thing to have something no more than your aspiration to do something. It's another thing entirely to have a record. I think that citizens of Michigan will be interested in knowing whether the candidates who will talk a lot, whether they can actually deliver anything, whether they have ever delivered anything. And I think my experience is something that the citizens of Michigan, one, they can look it up, and two, they can determine whether that's the kind of reformer that they want in Washington. I just turned 66. I'm not going to Washington to have a career in D.C. I want to be a disruptor. I want to go and create as much positive change as I possibly can. And I actually know how to do that in government. People have this fantasy that government is exactly the same thing as a business. It isn't. When a CEO says, okay, we're going to block and turn left, everybody says, yes, down the block, turn left. When a governor or president says that, well, in Michigan, if the governor says that, you have 148 legislators who say, I'm not so sure about that. So you have to understand how to work within government to change it. And it doesn't change willingly. Okay. That's the whole point. You can't be a captive of those interests that want things to stay the way they are.
Yeah, I'll say just one last thing, then I'll go. I greatly appreciate your indulgence with me today. I think you provide the best of both worlds, because people are looking for an outsider. They don't want somebody who's a career politician. You've got the experience, but from a good place, from being the justice. You're not a career politician.
I'm not. I'm a judge. And that's why I want to go to Washington and lay down the law.
Well, thanks,
thank
Joe.
You guys, take care.
Yeah, thank you, Joe. Take care.
Well, Bob, I have a couple questions. This is Ed, and I have
sure.
a couple questions. And one of them is I heard Dr. Larry Arnn speaking last week, and he was talking about a Supreme Court justice that he knew. I suspect it's, oh, my goodness.
Clarence?
Thank you.
Or,
boy.
Or, okay.
Brain fart real quick there. And he was saying
either that or Scalia, both were very supportive of Hillsdale.
Yes. And I know he knows Justice Clarence. And he was saying that why would a justice want to retire? He has, if he loves the law, and you love the law, and it's a position of influence to do the right thing. So I got to ask, did you retire with this run in mind?
I actually didn't. What prompted me to decide to retire was that I had spent 18 years, I thought that in that 18 years we had established the Michigan Supreme Court as being that unique senior court that actually followed the law, was a rule of law court. It's the kind of court that Ronald Reagan wanted to have, but was never able to create. And it's one that we're hopeful President Trump will have an opportunity to create a real rule of law majority court in our federal Supreme Court. So that was one. I thought I had achieved some stability in establishing the Supreme Court as a rule of law court. Second, the most fulfilling thing besides protecting our Constitution and liberties I did on the court was those 6 years that I spent as chief reforming the judiciary. Our tradition on the court is that the chiefs are selected by members of the court for two-year terms. I was given the honor by my colleagues of an additional term to make sure the reforms I had started were embedded and permanent. And so at the end of 6 years, I decided it's probably time for me to go out and do something different.
Go out on a high point.
Pardon me?
Go out on a high point.
Yeah.
I had achieved all of my objectives, and I thought, well, you know, it's time for somebody else to pick up the gavel, so to speak, and keep moving forward. And I had no idea. I mean, people, as soon as I told people I was leaving, they started whispering in my ear, and I kind of laughed. I said, not a politician. I'm a judge. I've run for elective office, but to promote the rule of law. That's something very different. And you know, I didn't see myself in this way. And but people kept talking to me, and finally, I realized I was just so pissed at the direction of our country, so upset that Debbie Stabenow is the senior member from Michigan in the Senate, and no one, not even her friends, believes that she's a leader.
Yeah.
What a thinker.
I just think we ought to do better.
Yeah.
We deserve better.
We do. We absolutely do. So on the phone with us, we've got former Chief Justice Bob Young, who is now running for Michigan's U.S. Senate seat. Bob, you there?
I am.
Okay,
oh,
so
let me address the question about Obamacare. I think this is a classic example how liberals like Debbie Stabenow bribe constituencies by throwing money at them.
Mm-hmm.
I think this was a scheme, a step that the Dems, with people just like Debbie Stabenow, trying to make the final step toward single-payer health care so that we have the VA for all of us. Imagine that.
Yes.
So they couldn't quite get there this time. So what they did is they took one-sixth of our economy. They broke the system of insurance that 80% of us were covered under employer health care. and lied to us all along the way about what Obamacare was going to do. They were just lies.
You mean I couldn't keep my doctor?
From me? Oh, yeah, you can keep your doctor. The costs are going to go down. Well, it's a fraud. It's an absolute fraud. And Debbie Stabenow ought to have the courage and honesty to acknowledge they lied to us. Now, you ask me what is my position. My position is that any health care, and this is not health care, by the way. This is how we pay for health care. This is about insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Any insurance plan, these are my principles, ought to reflect a market-based approach. And it ought to encourage people to actually take care of their health. There are things that we should be encouraging, like at least having an annual physical. You've got diabetes, getting A1C tests, those sorts of. That's actually medical. Paying for it is a different matter. I would like to see people be able to use some of their taxpayer dollars for medical accounts, so that you know most of us who have health insurance never ask the doctor what anything costs. I mean, I'd like to have people be conscious of the medical purchase, and anything that remote calc, you don't, is likely to increase the cost. So I'm thinking in terms of principle and things that promote those free market principles. For why aren't insurance companies allowed to compete across state lines? That's crazy. Competition reduces. Monopolies increase. We all know this stuff. But Obamacare was never really intended to address the real issues of providing insurance policies for those that didn't have them. We could have provided everybody who was eligible for, who wanted a policy of insurance to have one for years for a fraction of what Obamacare did. But that wasn't the goal, really, to insure the poor uninsured. That was the lie, the cover that the Dems offered for. We need to take Debbie Stabenow's credit card away from her and send her home.
Yep. Yes, absolutely. Well, Bob, I appreciate you calling into the show today, and I'm giving you the open invitation, and Ed and I would love, if you ever have the ability, to come mm-hmm. in and sit for the hour with us and discuss, because senatorial position, we talk national politics every Saturday. We would love to have you come in or call in, whatever's convenient for you. Any Saturday you have an open invitation here at the Drift to come in and speak your piece.
You'll see me again.
Great. Thank you so much,
good.
Bob.
Have a great day. Have a great day.
Yes, and we're proud for you, and we're pulling for you.
God bless you, sir.
Thank you so much. God bless you. God bless all of us.
Great. Thank you. Take care. Yes. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
WAAM Ann Arbor. Our First Amendment at work. Real public radio. Unbiased. Open. And honest discussion. 24 hours a day. Wham Radio. Wham. Talk 1600.
Christmas is coming, and the Mule Skinner Boot Shop in beautiful downtown Chelsea is ready. Ready with handmade Lucchese boots and handcrafted boots from Tony Lama, Nocona, Justin, and fashion boots from Corral. The Mule Skinner has the finest in women's and kids' boots, too. Also, tough work boots from H&H. They're ready to work when you are. This year, the Mule Skinner is ready for Christmas with the finest in Western hats from Resistol and Stetson. Traditional style in several colors with your own personal crease. And remember, the Mule Skinner has all your concealment requirements, model specific, custom holsters, and all handmade by the mule himself. Custom orders are also available. So treat all your elves with a traditional Western Christmas from the Mule Skinner Boot Shop. A Western Christmas that everyone on your list will remember. Oh, and don't forget old Santa. He might need a new pair of boots, too. That's the Mule Skinner Boot Shop in beautiful downtown Chelsea, 112 North Main, right next door to Wine's Own Main. Have yourself a merry little Christmas, Mule Skinner style.
People are always on the go, driving to work, running errands. How do they keep informed? They listen to Wham Talk 1600 just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham Radio for the latest issues, discussed by hosts like Joe Pags, Veyrone X, and Dana Lesh. And they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 today and advertise your business with Wham Radio and whamradio.com. Whamradio.com. Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
Good afternoon. Good Saturday afternoon. Welcome to The Drift. Gary is off on assignment right now. That's my story. I'm sticking with it. And, of course, this is Ed Bondarenka, his co-host, sitting in. And today I have the lovely Linda Hughes sitting in with me, co-hosting.
Wow.
Yeah, welcome,
Linda. 2 hours in a row. Can people take it?
There you go, yeah.
No.
Now we'll just get you on Rick's next, and you just do the whole
thing. Just all me all day long.
And then Ed Hoffman.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That'd be great.
Can't go back in time and get you on Trigger Talk. I encourage you to go to the Daily Drift for...
The news you need to know.
So, let's start out first. I want to talk to you about an advertiser in The Current. And The Current is also a place you need to go for the news you need to know, because I caught Linda drinking water.
I had a Marco Rubio minute. Sorry about that.
There you go.
Go to The Current for the news you need to know.
Thank you. So for your real estate needs, you need to talk to Marilyn Handloser Engstrom from REMAX. Marilyn's been advertising in The Current for a while, and she's pretty successful as a real estate agent. If you look her up in the... I was told by a friend of mine who's actually my son, who's a real estate agent. He checked her out and saw her stats, and she's very successful.
Very good.
So you can contact Marilyn at 248-231-4216 or MarilynH at remax.net or www.marilynhandloser.com. That's MarilynHandloser. And, contact Marilyn for your real estate needs. So, let's move on with the rest of the show.
I bet you didn't know I was a realtor.
Are you a realtor?
Not anymore.
Were you a realtor?
Shortest job ever.
Wait a minute.
I know.
We're getting ahead of ourselves.
I know. We're getting ahead of ourselves.
I asked the lovely Linda to come in today so I might actually interview her, as you heard previously on her show, because I'm sure you listen to her show also. And so,
yeah.
So Linda,
yes,
what was it like as a child growing up in the 90s?
Oh, bless your heart. That's hilarious. I was born in 1963.
We weren't going to go there.
Yes. Oh, we can go there. I'm 54 okay. years old. I will be 54 on December 16th.
Excellent.
Yes.
December 16th. I'll have to remember that day.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Okay. And that's all gifts may go to Linda at
that's
Wham.
Right.
Text your gifts to
Linda at Wham Radio.
Yeah. Email them also. Yep. Works better that
54
way.
Years old.
All right. So, having said that, what kind of education did you have growing up?
Didn't you hear the last show?
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
Oh. I was prepping for my show.
Oh, I'm so sorry. No, we were just talking about how bad education was in those years. Theron loves to say that. And it's true. You didn't learn anything. History.
Okay.
You know, that's why I love history now, because I had none of it other than the memorization. I was a good student. You memorized dates.
So I take it you went to a public school, obviously.
Celine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which has a great reputation.
Really? Yeah.
I mean, you know, you learned stuff. It was a great, I would say that's not of the public school problem that we have today. I would happily send a kid to Saline Public Schools. But my education came mainly from work. I worked a lot. I always wanted to work. I worked as a kid, babysat all, you know, my sisters and I all did a lot of babysitting. Always had that entrepreneurial, let's start. I mean, I remember with my cousins even one, let's start a business. You know, we'd be on Thanksgiving break or Christmas break. Let's start a business. They thought I was nuts. I remember at one point, I don't know if we tried to sell this or what we were doing, but we were putting egg salad in jars. I have no idea what we did with it, but I was always thinking, like, how can we get some money so we can do some stuff. It was always about independence. It wasn't about money as much as it was, you know, mm-hmm. we need to be.
I was thinking of the Judy Garland, Mickey Rooney. Hey, let's put on a show. But no, right. what you were saying, let's start a company.
Let's do some kind of business here.
Let's do business.
Yeah.
My son was actually like that, too. It was like anything for a buck, whatever right. you could do to get something.
Babysitting. You know, kids, going. You can't find kids. My parents are back in Saline, and you can't find kids to do anything. You know, you need mm-hmm. some help raking leaves,
that's
yard
right.
work. It's like,
mow
what?
My grass? Huh? No, I'm busy
yeah.
playing. No, my dad gives me money. What do I need yours for?
Right.
Yep.
It's really
bad
sad.
Like that. I hear that
you
a lot.
You can't find any help younger kids to do anything.
Yep. So.
As many people, McDonald's was my first job. First real job, other than, you know, the babysitting and stuff like that. That's was my first where you had a paycheck, and I learned about FICA, and who are these people that take all my money out of, who are these people? Where's all my money going?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Why don't I have,
mm-hmm.
I'm making this,
wait a minute. Exactly.
I'm supposed to be getting this
I'm
much
counting,
money.
I'm
wait
good at math. This is not the amount of money I'm supposed to be receiving.
Mm-hmm.
Who are these people, and
yep.
where's my money going? But my goal in my earlier years was always I wanted to be a psychologist.
And?
I always wanted to, you know, and I had a very good I had a very good psychology professor who said, this is, you got to get out of this. I thought, what? What are you
really?
Talking about? I'm a student in this class. This is, it's like, you will end up taking all of your patients home to live with you. And he was right.
Yeah,
he was right.
That. Yep,
yeah.
yep.
He was right.
Giving.
Looking back, it was not the right career path for me.
You
but I was
be
very,
distant enough,
I was kind
I
of insulted. But oh. So that was the end of my.
So you were overqualified for helping people.
Well, his point was I would not be able to separate myself from, and it was probably good advice on his part.
So besides McDonald's,
mm-hmm.
what was your next real job?
I managed the Clark station in Saline. And actually, I had those two jobs at the same time. I would get up at 5 o'clock, go down to the Clark station. I don't know if you know where that was, but now that's all vacant land. I would take a giant wooden stick in the back of the building, and I would measure the gas
the
tanks.
The depth of the gas tanks, yes. Did that as
now,
much.
These yep. days, your parents wouldn't let you do that because you would be robbed and all kinds of things. I was close to home, but and at that point I might have had an apartment because I had an apartment early too. I always had that. I
Did
gotta
you siphon
be,
gas for your cars?
I gotta be, of course not.
Oh.
I didn't become a rebel till my 20s. So yeah, this was like 16,
That's
17.
That's what my brother's dead at the gas station.
16, 17 years old. No, I was not into that kind of behavior at that point. But it was a hard job.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can picture a 16-year-old Linda measuring gas,
and you were managing it.
I didn't. I was. I don't. I wouldn't say I was a manager. Let me rephrase that. I was probably the assistant. Was I even the assistant? I don't know.
Okay.
And I had some crazy people that I worked for that I won't get into that.
Were you ever threatened?
That,
any?
No, no.
Well, that's good.
No. In those days, you just didn't even.
Didn't even think
was,
about it. Yep.
You know, probably the.
So after that.
Early 80s. Well, after that, I had a home and office cleaning business that I started
okay.
with my mom and my sister, and we did that for 20 years.
You met some friends of ours
yeah.
in that.
Probably, yes.
Yeah, I think yeah.
So that was a good 20 years of my life, which was good and bad, physically bad, hard on the body,
mm-hmm.
but good for the entrepreneurial spirit.
Exactly.
Met a lot of great people.
Did you, I'm going to say, you learned a lot about how business works then, obviously. About
in the end of it, yeah. In the beginning part, it was just all labor.
Okay.
And then you think, oh, this would be a great business. Then you realize as a business owner, you know, you hire people to do that and they don't do the work you do. You have a day where people don't show up. So you're out, you know, doing the work that you hired the people to do, realizing now you're making less than you were making when you were just doing it yourself. So it took me about 20 years to put that together that this is not good. I have a lot of respect for people who start their own businesses because it's not easy.
No, it isn't.
I mean, we wake up half the days here and think, what were we thinking buying a radio station?
Well, we're going to get to that point. What were you thinking buying a radio station?
I don't know.
Station?
Is Bob Young in the hallway?
Well, I'm thinking, what was I doing buying a newspaper?
That's right. You're an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
You got that same entrepreneurial spirit.
All
That's
right.
A tough word to say.
So you were doing the doing the cleaning service,
mm-hmm.
and then where'd you end up next after that?
That is when I became a realtor, and sadly, I became a realtor shortly after 9/11.
Mm.
Yeah. 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 I pick the times, don't I? Yes. So all of the people in my office, I worked for Edward Serbo, said, this is, it's not usually like this. I mean, it was 2 years of nothing. The big agents weren't doing, I mean, it was just the bottom. Well, you know, we were around in that time. It was, you know, I sold one house to someone that I babysat for. Well, I still had my, the end of the, you know, wasn't stupid. I still had the end of my cleaning business, but, and it was fun. I learned a lot. I was glad that I did it. It was a big challenge to do. It's not an easy thing to do, as you know from probably your son. But just the timing was horrible.
So what did you do after
owners.
That?
Hello.
Oh,
that's
you
when
bought
I joined
a radio station.
Oh no, no, heavens, no, 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 no. That was 2002, 2003 when I met the fabulous Theron and began working with him in radio.
Excellent.
Never thinking that we would own a station together.
So
later
you were working here at the station when you met him.
I actually was helping him with his show on WEMU.
Oh, I remember
he was on
those
for
days.
20 years.
Yep.
As a volunteer, mainly at that. You know, the fundraising and all that. And then when he was fired from that station for being a conservative, we've gone over that many times, and moved over to commercial radio, that's when I came into play. So we moved into commercial radio and got into the advertising business side of his show at that point. And
so you followed his career when he came here originally?
I was here first. No, I came,
well, that's what I was
actually
wondering.
Came here first.
So you were here first.
We were both over at Cool 107 together from WEMU. He was, and then I helped him at Cool 107 with the advertising and marketing and stuff for the show. And then in radio, every 6 months at least, everybody's fired.
Okay.
And sometimes the format changes. So that happened over at Cool 107, and everybody came here. And that's when the new manager here called and said, you guys have to come here too. And at that point, he was doing the music show. So we said, what are we going to do with, you know, we do a music show. We can't. He said, so what? Do it here, Sunday night. So we did.
Excellent.
And when we got here, I said, you know, why don't you do a talk show? And his words were, he doesn't remember this, but it's true. He said, what would I talk about? So when are you not talking? And that's why people love the music show so much, because it's not just the music. It's him talking about the songs and the artists, which he knows so well.
Oh, Sherry and I listened to Bone Conduction on EMU for the longest time, and then he was off the air. I didn't know where
Nobody knew where it was, because they never tell you.
Yeah, my friend James Bell told me one day, he says, hey, you know, I listened to Theron on Wham Radio. I said, wait, whoa, he's broadcasting again?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
he's been on the air for 34 years continuously, except for 2 weeks.
Isn't that amazing? Takes a vacation.
No, that was when you got fired.
I know.
But yeah. But that's pretty strong broadcasting career.
All right. And then you guys were here for a while.
We were here for a while. I came over first. They wanted a morning show co-host with the guy who was doing the morning show then. They just wanted a female voice on the air. And so I did traffic and weather with him. And Dan Martin was here at that time, too. So Dan has good memories of those early days. As you know, I'm not a morning person. So to be over here at 5 o'clock in the morning and talk about the weather and the traffic. And then the weather guy was, of course, furious because he thought, who is this person coming in? Are you going to take my job? So I got schooled in partly cloudy and partly sunny. The difference literally by being taken outside by the elbow by this punk. Who my co-host then, you know, took and threw him up against the wall and said, "Don't ever touch her." He was kind of the weather guy. Then was news guy. He was good, a great news guy, but he was crazy. But yeah,
great.
So that was our start here at Wham.
Okay.
And then about a year after that is when Theron came over and started doing the talk show.
And then the station came up for sale, and you guys said
years later, we were here for a few years, and let's see, that was. I don't have all my date stuff together, but basically, let's just say that things were not being well managed here. And when we brought that to the attention of the owner, who was in Dallas at the time, his remedy to that was for me to be the manager.
Okay.
Which I knew nothing about managing a radio station. I knew about having your own business, but I didn't know anything about managing the radio station. And Theron's, because of the things we'd seen in radio, said, well, you don't drink and you don't steal. And those were pretty much my qualifications. And it's true. I mean, if you are an honest person and you try to do the right thing.
So did you watch episodes of reruns of WKRP? Just to
I had those in my brain already. No, I knew what not to do. But that was the whole first year was just learning. I would Google stuff. Google was out then, and I would go online and try to, you know, someone would call and say, we don't have your BMI report for this month. I didn't know what that was. So I would say, oh, I'm sorry, you'll have it by the end of the day.
Learning experience.
As soon as I find out what it is, I would hang up and go find out what it was. And that's how it went the first year. But Theron has a business background, too, yeah. Much more so than I do with the accounting and everything. So it was a good team.
I had a friend.
Good partnership.
I had a friend years ago who was a pastor, and he got an accounting degree. And I said, well, why'd you get an accounting degree? He said, well, Jesus said, you know, they'll learn to count the cost. And I found out many people don't know how to do that, and they
need
help.
That's great.
Yeah.
They do. That's great. Yeah. So that's it. That's how we ended up at WAM.
So you got here, and... Yeah.
And then it was after I managed it for a couple years that he came in, the owner came back, and he said, I have good news and bad news. He said, the good news is ratings are up, revenue's up, you're doing a great job. The bad news is now I can put it on the market.
You
and
guys
we thought
worked
we
your
successed
way out
ourselves
of a job.
Into another, yeah.
Sorry, I stepped on your
yeah,
line.
Yeah, and exactly, we did. So I went to him, I think shortly after that, and said, you know, we'd like to buy the station, which he gave me that look like, oh.
Isn't that sweet?
Isn't that sweet? Because he knew what we were making because we worked for him. He kind of gave me the pat on the shoulder and said, that is so, that's just great. What, you know, what's your plan for that? I said, I don't know, but if you give me enough time, we'll come up with a plan. So he was patient, and we went out and went about finding people who believed in us and would help with the financing. And it took us about 12 months. Went through a lot of people. You know, all the people who are your friends who say, oh, you guys are doing great with WAM. Keep it up. All the big conservative billionaires out there in Ann Arbor land, which there are a lot. Nope. Not a dime. But it was the regular folks, the nice little folks that said, you know, I can give you 10 grand.
You had your own GoFundMe going on.
Exactly, before the GoFundMe was popular. So we did.
Networking.
Yeah. And that was almost 7 years ago.
And if you had a mission statement here, what would be your mission statement?
Save America.
That's,
I know that's
two
you
words.
Didn't think I'd have it that fast. But that's literally what we thought in the beginning. It's like, we have to keep this station a conservative voice.
That's right.
Because it wasn't at the time. They had half liberal, crazy liberal shows, half conservative, just like hedge
Fox
their
News.
Bets. Yeah, exactly. No, exactly. And we thought, if we don't do this to take this station, it will be completely 100% crazy liberal within a couple months. And it would have been. Yeah. We thought, we've got to keep this voice going. We've got to keep the truth. You know, we're all about truth, justice, and the American way, and Theron's voice, all of our voices on WAM, but his in particular, it's too important. I mean, this is a place where you can hear the truth.
Yep.
For better, right. For worse. So, and of course, always spreading the truth about God as well. So
now, you own a radio station.
Mm-hmm.
Your mission is this cheer?
For better, for worse, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Your mission statement is?
Save America.
Save America.
Save America.
That's right.
Without the A, yeah.
And along with that mission statement, incorporated in that mission statement, is an emphasis on your Christian service.
Right.
Okay?
I like to tell people we're not a Christian station per se, and that we get all the tax breaks, but just about everybody here is a pretty deep Christian. Not everybody, but most people are. It's a nice environment to work in.
A couple of years ago, I called into your show when you had Drake on as your co-host frequently, and I remarked that your show was a piece of Americana, and that Americana,
I remember that call.
Yeah, and Americana has the culture of America, and part of the culture of America is its religious heritage.
Right.
And so I like to think that we like to promote that culture in America, one that's conservative in politics, although it also has its liberal, let's not forget there were liberals, of course, in American history, but they're not who we want to emulate. And we have a caller, but I don't know who it is yet, so we'll just wait on that. And so part of that is our Christian heritage and the promotion of that Christian heritage, because we know historically the founding fathers based this country on their Christian heritage. And so consequently, I believe that there are attacks on those, and of a spiritual nature, on those who have a Christian outlook and a prominent voice in the community. And I think you and Theron
fill
that bill.
Yeah. I'll second that theory.
Okay.
Yeah, I
mean,
believe so.
Some of it you see forthright, right?
Right.
Some of it you don't see forthright, but you see it secondhand.
Right.
Well, I want to move on to this topic of basically attacks, both spiritual and the other word is temporal, of this earth.
Right.
On you and Theron. And you announced a couple weeks ago to our audience that you had a recurrence of cancer in your life.
Yep.
And I actually think that that's part of a spiritual attack on your mission and work here.
Oh, and I agree.
I would like to encourage all our listeners and any people who aren't our listeners that they hold you in prayer. And perhaps you'd like to give an update on your treatment. Would that be all right?
Yeah, that'd be fine. I think I mentioned before that this is my second time around. The first time was about a month after Theron and I got married, back in 2005. Breast cancer for the first time. 12 years later, a recurrence. Things are going very well. I'm on a new kind of experimental drug.
Is there a name for that drug?
TDM1.
Okay.
TDM1 is specifically for my type of breast cancer. But I hate to say, this sounds kind of weird, but if you're going to have cancer in your lifetime, now's a really good time, because literally every day, more than once a day, there's something coming out that they are so on the verge of getting to the bottom of a lot of this stuff, and that they can go in now and turn off certain genes. They can totally map your your genomic pattern. Something new this week out of Sloan Kettering, where they 42 different types of, and I can't even keep, you can't even keep it all straight. The information's coming so fast. So I'm very encouraged about all that. But I felt early on in this that God, through different things we don't have time to get into, but was telling me, this is not my time. If it's my time, I'm ready, but he has more work for me to do here. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to be by, because one of the biggest things when you get an illness like this, you feel like it's all on you to find the cure. You got to find the right doctor, the right, and to some extent that's true. You got to be your own advocate, your own researcher, but the healing's going to come from God. And it's not like he says, I was going to heal you, Linda, but you didn't find this blah, blah, blah over here, and you didn't do this supplement, you didn't do this, so
I gave you
sorry.
Clues.
Right. So you have to, exactly. So you have to realize that your healing is going to come from the Lord, but he gave us doctors, he gave us the medicine, he gave us his creation, which is full of the food and the supplements and the things that we need to fight off the cancer, because most people's bodies, their immune system's strong enough to fight it. So you have to find out why yours isn't. So that's basically
okay.
It is just realizing not to panic over finding the exact thing that you need, that God is directing this. And there's a 3-hour story in that, but God is definitely in charge of me, my illness, my life, the mission here at WHAM, everything that we have been doing. He's led us through every piece of it wonderfully.
Well, so once again, I want to encourage all our listeners. I think it's very important that we hold Linda before the Lord and Theron,
yeah,
and the fate of this station, and consequently, the fate of the nation, because their mission
I love
is
that.
To
yes.
Save
Do
America.
Not bring this country to an end. Support Linda and Theron and WHAM Radio.
There you go.
That's great. And I will say this. I know we're going to take off here, but if Theron's line, and he uses it all the time, which I love, none of us are getting out of here alive.
That's right.
So the bottom line is, it may not be my time to go yet, but one day it will be. And it might not be your time to go yet, but one day it will be. So make sure that you've got your relationship with the Lord
That's
intact,
right.
Because the good news is, God wins in the end.
That's
we
right.
know the end of the story. We've all read the book.
Yep.
And so it's a
for
good
those
ending.
Who are prepared.
Right.
I'll
it's a good that. Ending for all of us if we know what the story is. So, just make sure that you're, that you're ready.
When I go, I want to go peacefully in my sleep like my grandfather, not like the occupants of his car.
Yeah. Another Theron joke. That's great.
All righty then.
WHAM Talk 1600. Talk 1600. We're everywhere you are.
You are. I'm Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current and The Daily Drift. With today's internet environment, it's easy to get information overload. The best way to process this information and cut through the internet chatter is to get your news delivered in a concise and effective manner. Get the news you need to know at thedailydrift.com. Check out The Daily Drift, one of the fastest growing websites around. At The Daily Drift, I find the local, state, national, and international stories you won't get from the mainstream media, and I make it easy for you to link to them. You'll also get original common sense opinions from local writers. You can even get a free subscription that will deliver a link to your email inbox every day for free. You'll also get instant access to all archived podcasts of The Drift Radio Show and links